We'll begin this afternoon service with the singing of Psalter 19, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Psalter 19, stanza 1, what dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? Stanza 2, do thou, O Lord, arise, O God, lift up thy hand. Stanza 4, thou, Lord, hast heard their prayer. Stanza 5, defend the fatherless and all who are oppressed. Psalter 19, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. The scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll now read from 1 Samuel, beginning at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired them out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren have borne seven, and she that have many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the end of the earth. And he that shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So for the reading of God's word, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. O Almighty and Eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou art that high and lofty God, Thou who dwellest in the highest, and Thou art worthy to receive all the honor and all the glory, and Thou who also wish to dwell with men. O, what a wonder that is, that Thou hast given a way wherein sinful men can be restored in a communion with Thee, that Thou hast thought out a way from all eternity to redeem unto Thyself a people, not worthier, not better than anyone else in this world, but out of that multitude Thou wilt have Thy people, and Thou wilt bring them from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And to that end, Thou hast instituted Thy word, a and also the preaching of thy words. And so we may be together here in this thy house of prayer, round about thy word and holy testimony. And Lord, may it then be that there is a people in our midst in this afternoon who could sing, also with Psalm 84, oh, that longing to go up to thy house of prayer, oh, to hear thy word, to see also what takes place in thy house. Lord, wilt thou them give, oh, that may be much prayer in the heart, so when we came up to thy house, but also when we may sit here. Lord, wilt thou then work by thy grace for the first time or by renewal in the hearts of young and old. Lord, we are not too young to sin, neither we are too young to receive grace. O, wilt thou then glorify thy name also among our children, they may sit here, they may listen to thy words. Perhaps there are others who may listen along by the way of the means. And Lord, wilt thou then give to our children also an hearing ear that they may listen. Because we can be so busy with so many things, can be busy with our toys, with what takes place at home or at school. But Lord, may that one thing needful be bound upon the hearts also of our children. Wilt thou give them a new heart, convert them unto thee. We also lay the youth of the congregation before thee. Thou knowest what lives in their hearts. Lord, they are drawn from all different directions, to drawn away from the truths of thy word. But wilt thou then draw them unto thee. Lord, wilt thou become too strong for them, and that they may learn to know thee in their early years. Lord, is the best time to seek the Lord. And may that then also be take place in the hearts and life of our young people. Lord, wilt thou then remember the catechism students, confession of faith students. Lord, wilt thou glorify thy name also among them. Think of our fathers and mothers, men and women, all those who may come up under thy words. Lord, wilt thou remember them. Or when we must do our work, or when we have a young family or an older family, can take so much of our attention. Now we are busy from the early morning to late evening. But may that one thing needful also be have the highest place. Because one day we also have to meet thee, and we do not know when that day will come. But wilt thou prepare us for that great eternity? Remember also our seniors. Lord, wilt thou work also in their hearts and life. They have come in the evening of their life. And so often we hear out of the mouth of our seniors, I'm now so old, I have sitten so long under that preaching of the word, and never happened that wonder of grace, and most likely never will it happen. But Lord, thou who art the Almighty God, for whom nothing is too hard, wilt thou also work then, and begin in the life of our old people. Lord, wilt thou watch them over the congregation, work in the midst of them, and wilt thou glorify thy name, and wilt thou make thyself a great name among them. Remember also their minister, a friend and brother, give him what he needs. Lord, when he may bring thy word at another place in this day, wilt thou be on his right and on his left, and give what he needs for body and soul, for time and eternity. And wilt thou be with his wife and children, and give that he may be for a blessing in the midst of the congregation. Remember also the consistory, the elders, and the deacons. O wilt thou uphold them, strengthen them, and give also what is needed in their personal life, but also in that official life. Also him who is voted in to become an elder, Lord, wilt thou give them, that he may do it, looking up unto thee, not in his own strength, but in the strength given by thee. Then thou hast said it in thy words, without me ye can do nothing. And may then experience also that help from above, the help also from him who also calls to the office and qualifies to the office. O wilt thou then remember in mercy, and wilt thou provide in the unknown future. And so we may lay the whole congregation before thee. Also the widows and the widowers, Lord, thou knowest that in their loneliness, thou knowest what they need. Wilt thou then be nigh unto them? Remember those who have lost loved ones. And thou knowest what they have to go through. Is in way sometimes so against flesh and blood, but so incomprehensible also for the flesh. But Lord, wilt thou then give in that all, that they may lift up their eyes unto thee, and that thou wilt fill those empty places. Remember the sick and the afflicted ones, those who have to undergo treatments, those who are under doctor's care. Wilt thou be with them all? Remember the families, parents with the children, and children with the parents. O Lord, thou knowest also the needs, what there is in the families. O wilt thou give them the love and unity, give us a life in the fear of thy name, and wilt thou remember so each one of them. Wilt thou watch over the congregation, but wilt also watch over the denomination. Wilt thou remember also in the theological school, wherein the week lies so in front of us, coming Wednesday they hope to have the examinations, the midterm, and Lord, thou knowest how the students always look up against it. But wilt thou give them help from above, or they have tried to study, that maybe come back in their thoughts and in their minds, and help to that end also the instructors. And wilt thou be in their midst and make it well for them. And wilt thou send forth more laborers into the vineyards, because there are so many empty and vacant pulpits. Wilt thou then remember each one of them. And so we may lay all thy servants before thee, also those who cannot do the labors anymore, as they, it is the desire of their hearts when they have to go with emeritus. Wilt thou remember them? Remember also the widows of thy servants. Also in the past week, one of the widows of thy servants, Mrs. Keybone, had to exchange time for eternity. And Lord, wilt thou then be with that mourning family? They have lost their father, now also their mother. And wilt thou then remember also in the week which lies before us, when thy servant will also lead in the funeral service, wilt thou then give help and strength to him, and may he experience that thou knowest of it, and remember so the family. Or then we see in this all, the one generation comes and another leaves. And so we all will also receive that turn that we have to leave this low earth. Lord, wilt thou then prepare us for that eternity. Remember also the nation of Canada. We may lay Prime Minister before thee. Also lay this province before thee, but also the city of Fort MacLeod. Thou knowest what is needed to all those who are in authority. Give help and strength above all, Lord, a deep impression that they do not have to give an account in the first place to men, but to thee. And what shall that be if we have driven away the nation and the people away from thy words and testimony and ordinances? Oh, what must that be, O Lord? Or wilt thou then give honesty, give the true repentance, give true conversion, and that also our leaders may learn to know the Lord, He is God. Lord, wilt so be with also in this world, a world in need, a world which bleeds out a thousand wounds, a world wherein we see so many threatenings, rumors of war, but also disasters taking place, then it is here, then it is there. And Lord, so much bloodshed also takes place. And we read it and we see it and we almost become used to it. But Lord, that it may bring us in the inner room, where will it end, O Lord? Do we not hear so the footsteps of thy coming? When we hear all these rumors, Lord, wilt thou then remember in mercy, give us a cleaving unto thy throne of grace. Remember them, all those places where is war. Remember them, O Lord, where they are driven away from their homes. Remember them where there are disasters. And wilt thou give that it may drive them out unto thee. Lord, we ask thee much, and we have nothing to plead upon. O, wilt thou then give in this afternoon, O, that thy word may go forth with power divine. Lord, may arrows go out in this afternoon and go into the hearts of the king's enemies, that new ones may be born in Zion. But thou use also thy word, that false foundations be taken away, and that we may learn to seek thee. But also use thy word for thy people, for education, for instruction, for correction, for comfort. Lord, thou knowest what is needed for each one of them. And to that end, help thy servant, that he may do it, in the strength given by thee, looking up unto thee. Will I give Aaron's and hers in the congregation, and above all, that thy spirit may lead him into the truths of thy words. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. We'll continue with the singing of Psalter 288, the four stanzas. O Lord, how manifold thy works in wisdom wrought by thee. The wealth of thy creation fills the earth and mighty sea. From Psalter 288, the four stanzas. And in the meantime, your offerings will be received. The Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, in the Psalter which we sang, so from Psalm 104, the psalmist may praise the Lord also in his works, in his mighty works which he has performed. And this was his desire also to glorify the name of the Lord, was the desire of his heart. And we see it especially in verse 33, where he says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. So it was a psalmist. He says, O Lord, all the days of my life, as long as I may live, as long as I may be here upon earth, may I then sing to thy honor, may I then sing to thy glory, may I then have thy honor in view. God, what is man by nature? You is me by nature. We have so much our own honor and our own glory in view. But now the psalmist may say, thy honor and thy glory, O then as long as I live. Oh, I will sing praises to my God. Can be also other times in the life of God's people. Oh, then they knew of those times when they could sing the praises of the Lord, of what the Lord had done in their life. But it seems it was so long ago. It seems the Lord has forgotten me. It seems the Lord has forsaken me. And it seems the Lord does not know about me anymore. And then those songs of praise comes very quiet. And so they cannot and don't dare to sing anymore. And they sing more with what Psalm 77 sings. Asaph says there, will the Lord then cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? In the Bible book which we have before us, that we have seen, we see in the first chapter of Samuel, that we see a woman who has received a great blessing. That woman was in a great need, was in a great distress, or then it was an empty place in her life. She was barren, had no children. It was such a burden for her. And what had the Lord done? When she was in that distress, when she has poured out her heart before the Lord has given a promise in her life. You say, was that not a word from Eli? Yes, that was the word of Eli who spoke that also the Lord would bless her and given also the desire of her heart. But Eli, also as the servant of the Lord, also could speak in the name of the Lord. And so the Lord has given that promise in her heart. She would receive a child. And that has given so much hope in her life. Because then we read of Samuel, of Hannah, afterwards, when she left home, she was not that sad anymore. Then the Lord has looked upon her. So there came a change in that life. I thought also, in this time of Advent, what a rich picture lies in it. When we see an Advent people, and how do they become an Advent people? When the Lord begins that work of grace in the heart, comes a missing in your soul. And what is that? You miss God. And you cannot miss him anymore. Is there such a people still here in Fort McLeod who says, I miss God. And how must I now ever become right between the Lord and my soul? Missing God. I gave such a deep distress because that law of the Lord rests upon them. It is that commandment what rests upon them. The justice of the Lord, pay me what thou owest me. And they cannot pay, and they have nothing to pay with. And in all that need, there are times they're given to pour out their heart before the Lord. A sweet place if you may come there, to pour out your heart before the Lord. But what has taken place in the life of Hannah, then she has received a word from the Lord. What does the Lord sometimes do too? Or to that Advent people, then the Lord will give also a promise to them. And what is that promise? That there is help in another. Or the strength lies in another, in the Lord Jesus Christ and Himself. And then there's a people who goes also with that promise through this earth. They had received that promise. And then, may I say it in this way? They are pregnant with that promise of the Lord. What has done changed in their life, you would ask? Do they have the child? No. But when the Lord gives a promise to that people, and there are times in the life of that people, they say, the Lord will fulfill it, because the Lord has spoken it, and therefore He will also do it at His time, in His way, and to His honor. So always keep that in mind. And so we see, actually in that first chapter of Samuel, an Advent people. But what has now taken place to that Hannah? Oh, she was not only received that word, she has not only become pregnant, that the Lord has given also that promise initially also has been fulfilled, but also the Lord has given a child. And then she has received that child. And what does she then do? According to the promise what she has given, she brings that child to the temple, to the tabernacle, and how it may serve in the service of the Lord. And so that child, as it were, is given also in the hands of Eli. And what does that give now also in the heart of this Hannah? Then she begins to sing. She begins to sing her song. And now out of that song, I would like to ask your attention in this afternoon. You can find the words of our text in 1 Samuel 2, verse 8a, as our text. 1 Samuel 2, verse 8a. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. So far our text. These words, they speak of the life of a beggar. And with the help of the Lord, wish to ask your attention for 2 points. First, from where he is taken. And secondly, what place is received. So the life of a beggar. First, from where he is taken. We can read that in our text. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. Do you see it where he comes from? Out of that dust. And he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. You say, that's not so nice place to be. No. So that beggar is taken out of that low place. Secondly, what place is received? You can see it in the second part of the text. To make them inherit the throne of glory. What a difference. May then the Lord lead us into the truths of His word, in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, he said that the theme, the life of a beggar, you could also call the theme, the song of Hannah. The Lord has given such great blessing to Hannah, as we have mentioned in the introduction. And now she could sing, she could give all the honor, all the glory to the Lord. Oh, then he had done such a great wonder in her life. She begins to sing about it. And now we read so in verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." So Hannah prayed. Children, what is that? What is that praying? May I ask you that question? You say, praying. Yeah, what is that? You fold your hands, you close your eyes, and you utter some words. Praying. What is now praying? When we look through God's words, what prayer is, that we have different kinds of prayer. We have prayers wherein the glory of God is set forth. We have prayers also wherein supplications are set forth. Other prayers, we have different kinds of prayers. And when we go through this prayer of Hannah, when you read through this prayer, do you see in that prayer any supplication? Do you read of something Hannah asks for? Actually, we do not do that. And still, it is a prayer of Hannah. When she may lay so her heart open before the Lord, she may glorify the Lord in his works and in his doings. Because what the Lord had done in her life, she may also now speak of it. And that is, what a wonder that is, if that may be done. Because so often, when the Lord does something, the man will receive the honor of it. Then I will go with the glory. But we must also always so be watchful, so on our watch, that we may seek the honor of the Lord. Because Hannah says that too, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." That is now the source of my praise. That is now the source of where I lift up my prayer to him and him alone. So you see, that heart is directed to him who sits in heaven and earth, children, congregation. When we may do that, when we may lift up our hearts, our eyes up to the Lord in prayer, we must do that also prayerfully, looking up to him. And that we also may do that reverently, seeking the honor of the Lord. What an example do we have here in this song of Hannah. We see also here in this song of Hannah, this prayer of Hannah, it is a ripe fruit of the operation of the Holy Spirit, because it is that Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit himself who lays that prayer in the heart. God's word says so clearly, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And also in prayer, it's so true. Or what is it necessary? That the Lord also must lay that true prayer in the heart. That gives a desire also to hear what the Lord will say, but then also that we pour out our heart to the Lord. It's that work of the Holy Spirit. He says so further, "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our Lord." So there are times the church may do that too. They may glorify in that rock. They say, "Our rock, that is that strong rock, that is that rock what is so secure, is that rock which is unmovable, that is now our God. And now to be placed upon that rock, then I have a solid ground under my feet." Hannah had received also that solid ground under her feet, and as she may sing what the Lord does. Oh, then in those verses, he may look up to the Lord. Hannah had experienced who the Lord was for her in a time of trouble, and now she can trust in him. So there's the experience of the heart. As Satan is silenced, Satan has to depart, and so he, she may sing of the ways of the Lord. I do think of what we read of Christian when he goes through that valley of humiliation and then that valley of the shadow of death. Oh, was he attacked by Satan? But finally we see also that Christian got the victory by that sword of the word. And then Satan had to depart, flee away from him, and then the Christian could sing there in that valley of the shadow of death. And so we see, as it were, Hannah here too. Oh, what was she troubled when we think of the first chapter? But the Lord has made it so well for her, and now she may sing those ways of the Lord. When we now go through those next verses, you understand I cannot go into every verse, but the verses 6, 7, and 8, they have almost the same content. Where do we read, "The Lord killeth and he maketh alive, bringeth down to the grave, bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, maketh rich, bringeth low and lifteth up. Raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill." Now you see how they were exalted. So first they had to go into that low place. They were brought very low. And it is the Lord who has done that. But it is also the Lord who has lifted them up again. Do you see that she begins now to sing about God's sovereignty? It is the Lord who has done this. It is the Lord who has laid this upon me, who has brought me so low. To think of this, also in the ways of providence, the way the Lord also sometimes leads, also in daily life, sometimes the ways go so against us, so against our feelings, so against our own opinion. And then what do we do so quickly? We say, man is doing that to us. And if it is not go the way I want that it would go, then I begin to accuse man of that. Man is doing this to me. Can be that man does that. Can be that also man is used as an instrument to that. No, not to that we can do just what we want. That's not what I mean to say with that. But we so often look to second causes. That is what I mean. So in our life, why is it that we come sometimes abroad at that low place? It is, what do we read here? The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. So it is God's sovereignty also in God's dealing in our life. Or then sometimes that stick where we are beaten with. Oh, what can we be angry at that stick? Oh, now we begin to bite in that stick. But look, congregation, do we not see, do we not understand that it is the Lord himself, the first cause, who brings us in that low place? And that gives, that can give so much enmity in our hearts. Especially when we do not know God's ways. When we cannot understand God's ways, and then so often we say, "How what must now become of us? What must now become of our family? What must now become of the congregation? What must become of the denomination?" But now to lift up our eyes to the Lord, so often it is also God's common way to go a deep way with a person. Also to bring him low, to what end? And for what end? Also to lift him up again at his time and his ways, and also to the honor and to the glory of his name. I can make that clear also with an example, also for our children. Children, do we not see that same in the life of Joseph? I think you all know the life of Joseph. Joseph was a son of Jacob, Rachel, and what was he actually had a great place in his father's house. But what took place in the life of Joseph? His brothers sold him to Egypt. And there in Egypt, our first was Potiphar, and it seems it goes a little better again with him. But after that, brought even lower, he was brought in a dungeon, had been brought there in a low place. The Lord maketh poor. Do you not see that? The Lord had brought him there into the dust. Oh, what a deep way he had to go. Oh, and none of those ways, so often we begin to suspect the Lord, but the Lord has also his wise purpose with it, because Joseph there, do we read in God's word in Psalm 105, who was sold for a servant whose feet were hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came and the word of the Lord tried him. So, tried by the Lord all those years, but the time will come that he will be lifted up out of that dunghill, that he will be lifted up out of that dust, away against flesh, I said. You can mention also the life of David. David, oh, then he had a rich promise received. He would become the king of Israel. And it seems it goes well with him when even those virgins begin to sing about David. He has slain his 10,000s. Goes well, David. Soon you will be the king of Israel. But what happens? David had to go through a deep way. The Lord killeth. And then he's brought there in the dust. And then at the end, what do we see? As it were, he is buried there in the land of the Philistines, in Ziklag. What has left of him? It has even become more true also in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ, who was there in the bosom of his Father. Also from eternity, he was also Father's child. He was there, his dear child. And when we see him surrounded with all the holy angels, but how has it become true for him? Well, we read so in those verses, the Lord killeth, and he maketh alive, bringeth down to the grave, bringeth up, maketh poor and maketh rich. Because then Christ had to humble himself. And we may commemorate that also in these days, of the days of Advent. The days that we may commemorate also the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How has he humbled himself into the dust? Paul says of that, he says as we're in a few words in Philippians 2 verse 6 through 8, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it can come the question so in our hearts, why, Lord? Why, Lord, was thou so willing also to come for such a sinful creature? Also to come bow down thyself into the dust for such an earthworm? Oh, then that gives us such a wonder. If you may, for a moment, think of it, people of the Lord, when you may have some experience that he not only came for others, but also for you. When you have something experienced, also the working of that, of Christ himself in your life, how he came there in that way of humiliation. how he came there from that high earth, how he has gone in that way of humiliation, all those steps, in his humble birth, in his suffering, in his death, in his burial, and in his descending into hell. And in that way, catechism students, you also know that in that way he became the guilty one to the justice of his Father. So what's the purpose? He had become the guilty one for a guilty people and to lift them up out of the dust. We hope to see that more in our second point. But therein we see that work of Christ, that we see how he has gone into the depth wherein man has fallen. So to take up men out of that dunghill. Comes a question to you, to me, dear congregation. How did man now end up into that dunghill? Because man is not created on that dunghill, is it? Children, why is it that man now lies in the dust? Why is it that we are in that low place? Why is that? That is because of our deep fall in Adam. Oh, the Lord has created us. He has created us good and perfect. He has created us with that image of God. He has created us in that image what was in true knowledge, righteousness, and in holiness. But we have brought ourselves into that dunghill that is now man's fault in that deep fall in Adam, that we have not lost something, that we have not become sick, but that we have become dead in sins and trespasses, have lost everything. Oh, we have come in that miserable state. Have you ever wept about that state? Have you ever come also in the dust before the Lord? Dear congregation, has it ever become your guilt? Or then it is not Adam's fault anymore. It's not God's fault anymore, because what is man doing by nature? Tries to find all kinds of ways, tries to wiggle himself out of it. It says, perhaps if Adam would not have taken that forbidden fruit, if the Lord would have kept us, if, and then we can have many reasons, but now to become Adam before God is my guilt. It is my sin. And do you know what now the greatest misery is? By nature, you and I, we do not even understand it. We feel home upon that dunghill. We feel home in that state of death. Then God may have heaven as long as I may have earth, as long as I may have that place where I feel comfortable. Congregation, I do think also what we read in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and we all know that book, and then also in that book of Christiana, then is brought in that chambers of the interpreter, and then she sees many different travails in that, so many different occasions where he is led into. And then one of them is, he sees a man who is raking upon a dunghill. So he is to try to gather together some straws and some stuff what is laying there for himself. And then he sees also that there is a crown is holden above that head of that man. But that man does not even see and notice that crown. And then the question has come, what does that now mean, this instruction what is given? That means we can be so busy, and that is what we are by nature, so busy in the things of this earth, so busy with the things of this time and sense. How is that? Everyone can search their own life. How is that? And then we are so busy with it, and then eternity does not say us anything. Then we live for the time. We live, as it were, as if we always will stay here on earth. That's now your life. It's my life by nature. But now what a wonder that is when the Lord opens the eyes, when the Lord begins to also to let us see where we are and what in what state we are. So and then in verse 8, then we read, so he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, that low place. Oh, there comes a time in the life of God's people that the Lord begins to open their eyes for that miserable state in which they are. They begin to see where they are. That miserable state, that dunghill, what that is. Congregation, it is that wonder of free and sovereign grace, what the Lord begins to glorify in the life of his people. Or then when he glorifies that, or then you begin to see in the hour of regeneration that you do not longer answer to the purpose whereto God has created you. You begin to see that, or then you begin to miss God. We begin to see we live outside of him. Says the Lord maketh poor. Or then you become a poor sinner. Sinner who cannot live outside of God anymore. Come to seeking for the Lord. Lord, remember me in grace. Let me thy salvation see. Lord, will thou also look upon me? Will thou look upon my wife, my children? Will thou look upon my husband? Comes a longing to have him for our portion. But how can I now ever have him to his portion, my portion? Or then the Lord begins to make you poor. Because by nature we are not poor. Or then we can maybe talk as a poor one. But we are not so quickly a poor one. But as the Lord begins to make us poor, now we have nothing left. Empty hands. And you say, I have nothing. I cannot show the Lord any good. I become such a poor there in that dust. So it will also be heard in the voice. It will be heard also in that prayer. It will be seen also in your conduct. Or it begins that life of grace, begin to seek the Lord, begin to knock on that door of grace. It comes in seeking for the Lord. Lord, remember me. And when the Lord gives some opening in prayer, oh, what is that already? What can give that also? Air to the soul. That is true. Oh, then when the Lord gives some opening as a beggar, had to think also what a very well-known saying from the olden days, when they said, a beggar, what does he day? We remember that those beggars, also in the past, they went sometimes from home to home, knocking on the door for something good. Different than nowadays, but in the past they did that sometimes. And then when the door was opened, what did the beggar then do? Then he set his shoe in the door, or his klomp in the door, what is said, or the wooden shoe. So then the door could not be closed anymore. Comes that longing. Now I need to be helped. And so is it also in the life of that the true beggars. Comes a need in their life. They say, Lord, I need thee. Lord, wilt thou then come? Wilt thou also come in my life? And again, do you see them at that throne of grace? You cannot keep them away from that throne of grace. Oh, then they also begin to speak. I said that's language of a beggar. But they also begin to entreat for the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, then you see that in their whole conduct. Oh, then they will not be so quickly sent away. But they will not, do not take so easily a denial, but they say, Lord, give me then that grace, that mercy of God. Here upon earth, and sinner, also, when they may be led further in the way of grace, they will remain beggars. people of the Lord, when the Lord has given for some opening, when the Lord has given being led further on the way of salvation, if you have seen something more where salvation lies, not only in the promise, but also received. And when you know something of that life of the Simeon, with the Christ in your arms, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Or when you may have stood, as it were, at the cross, have seen a Christ who not only had promised to come, but also who has suffered, who died, who was buried, also for me, even more. The Lord has led you further also in that blessed resurrection, that he was not left there in that grave, but that he was risen indeed. He is risen. Oh, that they gave such a, that the Lord gives that more stability in your life, that the Lord has given my Savior, he is known. Oh, that Savior, he is also ascended for me into heaven and sitteth now at the right hand of the Father, you would say. Oh, what a rich knowledge is that. Will such a people still be a beggar? Yes. Those people will still remain beggars. They will still remain beggars at the throne of grace because they know so very well, without me, ye can do nothing. They know so well that sin so often comes in between, and then they need that Savior again. So that life of a beggar, you say, in the first beginning of that new life, yes, that is a life of a beggar. But now also in the further leadings, God's people, they remain beggars as long as they are here upon earth. Are there also such beggars here in Fort MacLeod, who not have been made a beggar, but also remain a beggar? What a blessing that is. In our second point, we would like to see what place is received. But let us sing first. From Psalter 249, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Because on me he hath set his love, I will his constant Savior prove. And since to him my name is known, I will exalt him as my own. Psalter 249, 3, 4, 4, 5, and 6. the life of a beggar, from where he is taken, what place is received. So we have spoken for a moment about that low place, that place in the dust, that place, a dunghill. I was thinking, children, do you know what it is, a dunghill? It's not such a pleasant place to be. To think also of those manure piles which we so often see by our farms. And those manure piles, what can they stink? What an awful place can that be to be there? As long as a manure pile is closed, perhaps you can still be come close by. But as soon as they begin to open that, you say you cannot be there. It's a hard place, it's an awful place to be. And now we read here in the text, here it is, the Lord comes to take up his people out of that dunghill, out of that awful place. To think, is there a people also here in Fort McLeod who has learned something of that dunghill of their own heart? You say, yes, when it is a little closed, perhaps we do not see it so much. We do not notice it so much, and perhaps we can easily live with it. But when the Lord begins to open it, when the Lord begins, as it were, begins to stir in it, oh, then it becomes such an awful place that you say, I cannot live here any longer. Comes such a longing to be delivered from it. Oh, that awful place, he begins to see that. He begins to become aware of that. And comes a longing to be delivered from it. Do you see? So what lesson also Hannah will give to us, and what the Lord will teach us. And now it is the Lord who maketh poor. It is the Lord who maketh rich. It is the Lord who bring down the poor out of the dust and lifteth up that beggar from the dunghill. So now we have seen the life of a beggar. We have seen what place, what awful place he was. And what is the Lord now doing? He says, I will lift them up out of that place, and I will remove them from that awful place, and I will give them a place. Where? Where will the Lord give him a place? Inherit the throne of glory. What a difference. We see that already in the life of Hannah. Hannah was at a low place. Oh, what has she bowed there in that dust before the Lord? And what has the Lord been gracious unto her? Also to lift her up out of that low place. And the Lord has given a great blessing. The Lord has given a son unto her. And so she may now glorify in the Lord. And as it were, she may say, I was in that dust, and now I'm placed in that glorious place. I was in a dunghill, but the Lord has risen me up out of it. Hannah, what a blessed song. What a blessed place you had. We read so in Psalm 75, verse 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So he lifteth up out of that dunghill, out of that dust. And how can I say to God, what doest thou? The Lord also in his sovereignty, he will do that. Oh, by nature, we can so disagree with the Lord. Oh, Lord, why is that? I may ask you, congregation, is now in this afternoon someone from the street would come into the church and sit here, listen to the word of God. And the Lord would arrest him, send an arrow in that heart, and that the Lord begins to work his grace in the heart. What would you say? It's not fair. I'm sitting here so many years already, and never has taken place, that wonder of grace in my life. And as someone walks in and he would be converted, would I give not much enmity in the heart? And so the Lord says here, it is the Lord who does that. We say, but what is done man's responsibility in this? What is done man's accountability in this? Oh, that we are so accountable with the word of God for what we have received. When we may sit so from week to week, from day to day, our children in the school, we may hear that word of God, but what do we do with that word? We so easily lay it beside us. Or if we have some, perhaps in the late evening still, a few minutes, then we can read a little portion. And for the rest, do we seek the Lord? Or may we come then as a guilty one at the feet of the Lord? The Lord does that. I said in the first point I spoke of Joseph, how he was there in a dunghill, or when he was brought there in a dungeon there in Egypt, how did the Lord him also take him up out of it? The Lord has drawn him out of that state, that low state. When we read in Genesis 41, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. So there was a beginning of his exaltation. The Lord has lifted him up out of that low place. And what we also know what has taken place after that, when he has received also that place beside the king, he became also the second in the kingdom of Egypt. So the Lord has exalted Joseph. What an example that is from that song of Hannah. You can think of David, or that we see that same, how he was there in the land of the Philistines. No one was thinking of him anymore. But the Lord lifted him up, brought him up. But I have also to go to that greater than David, to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, we have seen how he has humbled himself. Children, we have told you how he has humbled himself in that way of humiliation, where he has become the guilty one to the justice of his Father. Oh, that he has humbled himself and he has come to that low place and has descended into that dunghill wherein we have brought ourselves. Well, why was that? Why did he bring himself into that dunghill? Why did the Lord come to that dunghill? To lift up a poor and needy people out of that dunghill. So it was so necessary that he had to come down to this low earth. And then we read also so in Philippians, wherefore God also have exalted him, highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth. So then he has received that glorious place. He has received that place at the right hand of the Father. So to sit among princes, that he may now sit. Oh, what a wonder that is, people of the Lord. Have you ever learned something of that? Had the Lord also instructed you in that? Not only to that be guilty in the way of his humiliation, but also to be the acquitted one in the way of exaltation. Oh, what a wonder that is, if the Lord will teach us both of them. It's so necessary to be set free by the Lord. Oh, I said it in my first point, in the hour of regeneration, that we begin to see our state, then it becomes true. I have to die, and the Lord will bring me to death, because the Lord killeth and he maketh alive. The Lord killeth. Though that is what the Lord will do, also will be with me. Comes a dying life, dying of all what is of self, dying of all what I, my own works, dying that I nothing is left of me, dying that I cannot lift up my head anymore, until the Lord comes and he begins to lift up that beggar out of the dust. Oh, then I said he cannot lift up his head anymore, but what will there be take place there in a dunghill and in a dust? He will still cry to the Lord, cry for mercy. Once I heard a minister saying, he said, Lord, will thou bring us in the dust? For thou hast promised that those who are bowed down in the dust, thou wilt lift them up out of the dust. You must ask for your children too, that you also may learn something of it, that you may come at that low place before the Lord. I said there comes a dying life in that life of God's people. Will he not say with Paul in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me. Oh, what a wonder that is. Is it not true what we sing in Psalm 113? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of the people. Oh, then David also has quoted those same words. He knows what the Lord does with that people. The Lord finds them. He calls them by his grace. He lifted them up. He raises them up. And he, through his spirit, they could not raise them up themselves anymore. But the Lord does it. The Lord does it by his word and spirit. And what is he then doing with those? Oh, he makes them his own children. He makes them his own sons by adoption. Oh, they were not his children, but then through that work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes them his own children. They will be mine, saith the Lord. I will make them my own. And what will take place when the Lord takes them up out of that dunghill? Oh, then he begins to, what will take place? Comes a different raiment, so that stinking clothes needs to be taken off. Comes a new clothes. You will see that when the Lord begins to exalt them. They begin to eat different food. They begin to speak a different language. Or there comes a change in that life. When you say you know something of the life of grace, and you can still walk as the world walks, and you can still clothe yourself as the world clothes themselves, and you can still talk as the world and do as the world, there's nothing if God in it. But now when the Lord begins to work, it becomes a different, you will see that they will become sons of God. Oh, then what will the Lord do with them? Finally, he will bring them into glory. What do we see in Revelation 3 verse 21? To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in the throne, even as I also overcame, and am set with my Father in his throne. So then, that is, here upon earth, as long as they're here upon earth, I say, they remain beggars. But people of the Lord, there comes a time, the Lord comes and comes to call them. And some the Lord calls very young. When they are older, some have a long life. But there comes a time then that people may go home. Then they are delivered from that worldly heart. Delivered from self, delivered from sin, and then they taken up into the glory, and then they may sit with him in the throne. Oh, Hannah knew it. Oh, then he makes them to inherit the throne of glory. That is not an inheritance what is laid away for that people, or that is an inheritance what is that is safe in heaven, or where we can have so many inheritance here, people and congregation. But all what we have gathered for ourselves here below, we must also leave that behind when the hour of death comes. But when the hour of death comes for that people of the Lord, they have an inheritance, what is laid away for them, for all those who fear the Lord, and that they may glorify Him forever and ever. Or that they give sometimes, also when they may look forward to that day, and they will do that. And if the psalmist of 104, where we began with, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will praise to my God while I have my being. Comes also desire in the heart of that people, or that they may do it here in the beginning. And then when God's people may go into the eternal glory, or they will not do a strange work, because it is a beginning here, the beginning of eternal life. Or when the Lord begins to lift them up, and then He will bring them home, comes a longing to be home and to sit with Him in that throne of glory. Will you not receive also a desire, my dear child, my youth in the congregation here? Will you not seek the Lord? But what can the world give you? We do deal no honest with yourself. When you say, yeah, my friends and my yeah, they want to go another way, and I don't want to, yeah, to be different from them. What is now what the world can give you, what your friends can give you? When death comes, they must all let you go. But then it's only one thing. Do we not know that Savior? Do we not know something of Him who lifteth up out of that dust, who lifts up out of that dunghill? Seek Him then, while it is yet time. The Lord still comes with His word to you, to me. Oh, let them not testify against you in that great day of day. I have known the way, but I have not walked in that way. Is there still a beggar, also in Fort McLeod, say, oft when you explain that beggar's life, when you have explained that life, also that being in a dunghill, or when that is stirred up, that manure pile, oh, that's not strange to me, but to be lifted up, I do not know. Oh, then I hope, my dear beggar, that you will have no rest, but that you remain crying at the throne of grace, cried unmightily. Oh, that you also may know something, that life of that beggar and people of the Lord. Oh, when you may know, having been lifted up out of that dunghill, when you may know something of that, oh, that the Lord has taken you out of that dust, oh, that you also may give Him the honor and the glory, oh, that you may also sing to His honor. Well, we have heard from that Psalm 105, for I will sing, and my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Oh, may that then also be seen in your life, and seek Him then also to make His name known among the people, or that you also may speak of Him to the honor and to the glory of that most holy name, people of the Lord. We are sometimes way too quiet. Sometimes we are not speaking anymore, but that now may know something of that life of Hannah. Hannah knew where she was picked up. She knew where she was raised up from, out of that dunghill. She knew also that life of grace. And now she may also sing of the way of the Lord, and that you then also may be given to glorify His name. Amen. O Almighty and Eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, we have come at the close of this afternoon service, also to the close of the services in this place. And Lord, wilt Thou be the after preacher? Wilt Thou bring it where no man can bring it? Will thou make us a true beggar at the throne of grace, that we may see the place where we are by nature, but that we also may be taken up out of that place, lifted up. O Lord, remember them, the whole congregation, young and old, work by thy grace in their midst. Will thou forgive all what was sinful and amiss, and will thou bless thy word? Will thou give help and strength for us in the week which lies before us? Help each one in their respective labors, the office bearers when they may go, teach catechism class, may go on the house visitations and all the other labors which awaits. Will thou be with them? Remember our children in school or wherever we may receive the instruction. Lord, wilt thou then be with them too? And wilt thou remember our school? Be with the principal, vice principals, and all the teachers. And wilt thou also make the school a blessing among us? Lord, wilt thou also be with us in the furtherance of this day? Keep us safe on the unsafe roads. Help in this evening. Forgive all our sins, we ask it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close with the singing of Psalter 440, stanza 5. Holy in thy habitation are thy ways, Lord of creation. There is no God, O God, like thee, clothed with strength and majesty. Psalter 440, stanza 5. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.